This is Brett Musburger, and you are listening live to Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio with my main man, Tony D.
All right, welcome back as we continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Media days in the NBA happened earlier this week as we get ready for training camp and, of course, the upcoming season. Sean Devney joins us from Heavy.com to talk NBA offseason and looking ahead to the season. How are you, Sean?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Sean, on our Progressive guest line for a quote on home, auto, or pet insurance, visit Progressive.com. All right, so let's get to the big one. Let's get to the Damian Lillard-Milwaukee Bucks trade that was analyzed as soon as that happened last week. How do you see it from a point of Milwaukee losing Jrue Holiday, gaining Damian Lillard, and what it means for the Bucks?
Yeah, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head that, you know, I think there's a lot of focus on gaining Damian Lillard, but losing Jrue Holiday is no, you know, that's not a small thing. You know, as a two-way player for a team that that needs as many defensive weapons as it can get. So a little bit of a lateral move. I don't know that this is something that really pushes Milwaukee into necessarily championship favorite category. And then they kind of have the double whammy of you give up Jrue Holiday and he winds up going to the one team that can probably knock you off more than anybody, and that's the Celtics. So, you know, I'm not as bullish on this move from the Milwaukee Bucks as a lot of people. I understand why they did it. I think they're looking at the big picture, and that's Giannis, you know, coming into free agency in 2025. And really trying to show him that you're doing everything you can to win. But at the same time, I'm not sure that this really makes them that much better.
From the Boston standpoint, I was equating this to a chess match, but you really, really don't know how to play it, which is they got rid of Marcus Smart. How could they have ever envisioned getting back a defensive player like Jrue Holiday after getting rid of Marcus Smart? But it seemed to work out in the players that they did get rid of because Malcolm Brogdon didn't want to be there and Robert Williams never plays.
Yeah, it you know, when you look at what the Celtics gave up in total, you know, giving up Marcus Smart, you know, swapping some picks around, then giving up you know, another pick for Jrue Holiday. But you give up Marcus Smart, you give up Robert Williams, who, like you said, just hasn't been healthy, and Malcolm Brogdon, who was great off the bench last year. But you give up those three guys, and you get that back Porzingis and Jrue Holiday. I mean, you've made a huge upgrade in terms of talent. We don't know about fit. We don't know about chemistry. You know, I mean, this is the second year in a row that the Celtics will be coming in with you know, basically a brand new cast, and they're going to have to all get together and figure it out pretty quickly. So, you know, there's certainly questions there, but just in terms of the talent, you know, if Porzingis can be anything close like what he was last year in terms of production and health, and of course, you know what you're going to get from Jrue Holiday, then yeah, they've made some serious additions here. And really, to me, have, you know, put themselves at the top of the East. I don't think there's any question about it.
Where does this leave Miami that was supposed to be a player in all of this in terms of getting at least Damian Lillard in a trade, maybe even have to go to the drawing board and figure out a Jrue Holiday acquisition? But they get neither. Where does this leave the Heat?
Yeah, it's got to be a huge disappointment for Heat fans, that's for sure, who all summer, you know, were in the driver's seat of the Damian Lillard thing. You know, if you remember, there was talk that he wasn't even going to play unless it was for Miami. It was
right.
Miami or bust. And now not only is he not in Miami, but, you know, you have the shakeup like you talked about with both Milwaukee and Boston now coming back with much different teams and the Heat sort of being right where they are. I think in the end, the Heat looked at what they did last year, in the playoffs and they looked at, you know, having another year to kind of gel together. They were a much better team after they got Kevin Love, you know, just in terms of their chemistry and the way they fit together. So I think that they're looking at that and saying, you know what, we don't need to make that many changes. I think they really like the young guy, Nikola Jovic, who was great in the World Cup. They did not want to give him up in a trade. They really like Hami Hakez, who they drafted from UCLA. So, you know, in the end, they decided to run it back. I think that's unsatisfying for a lot of Heat fans, but they didn't mind where they were in all of this.
Philadelphia, what is going to be the end result of James Harden? I'm asking you to speculate here, but what do you think is going to happen with the James Harden, Daryl Morey situation in Philly?
Yeah, you know, and I was talking to some people about this in the past week. And, you know, when you look at what happened with Ben Simmons, you go back to the Ben Simmons thing at Philadelphia, Daryl Morey kind of got lucky on all that. And you know, he got praised for being patient and all that, and that's fine. But he really got lucky in that James Harden decided he would ask out of Brooklyn and kind of force a trade to Philadelphia, and everything just fell into place. There's no even, you know, one GM called it an eject button. You know, he had the eject button with the James Harden thing. There's no eject button on this. That's it. He's out of options. He's going to have to take back a bad deal, and he's got this reputation of never doing that. You can have whatever reputation you want. If you haven't got the goods, then you haven't got the goods. And right now, James Harden around the league is not seen as the goods. Probably the best hope is still the Clippers, and they're only mildly interested, if that. And so that would mean that the Sixers would have to take back a package highlighted probably by Terrence Mann, who's, you know, a decent young player, but not, you know, certainly not a superstar. So, you know, Daryl Morey's going to have to take a bad deal, and he's got this reputation, like I say, of not doing that. That's going to have to change.
Let's go to the West. The Nuggets on top, obviously winning the NBA title. They've got the best player in the game. They got the best 1-2 combination with Jamal Murray. They've got depth. They got a great coach. But how close is a team like Phoenix? How close are teams around the West to challenge not only the supremacy of the champs, but the Western Conference champs as well?
Yeah, I think the Lakers and the Suns will be the teams to watch in terms of chasing those Nuggets. And you know, if you ask Mike Malone, he'll tell you that that's exactly what they want. People talking about the Lakers and the Suns, and they want to fly under the radar, which like they did last year. And then you know, when you get to June, they're back on top. I still think that they are the best team. You know, I think that there's serious holes with the Suns, the serious holes with the Lakers, and of course, health with the Lakers is going to be a big concern. You know, the Suns have obviously a lot of frontline depth and you know, guys who can kill you in that starting five, but when you start getting into the depth chart a little bit, it gets thin real fast. So that's a big concern with the Suns, and then of course the Lakers. You know, how long can Anthony Davis and LeBron stay healthy? You know, it's just something that since they won that bubble championship in 2020, they just haven't been able to do. And you know, I just don't think they're as good as the Nuggets. So yeah, you know, there's certainly going to be some challenges there. There's going to be more high profile teams, but I still think the Nuggets are the best team in the West.
Is there window still open for Golden State? I know people were ready to close it, but is it still open?
I don't think so. I think I think that age is catching up with those guys just enough. And you could see it last year. Everybody was just a half step slow. There was, of course, a lot of chemistry issues. Of course, the Jordan Poole that we saw. I don't know that if you've got an old team and that's your concern, then adding Chris Paul. Man, that's leaning into it, isn't it?
It sure is.
Really leaning into the age thing there. So, yeah, you know, I think they'll be a very good team. You know, I think they'll be right around 50 wins, and they'll be a threat. I don't think that they've got the juice anymore. I think that, like I say, everybody's just a half step slower, and I think that adds up.
I thought that Sacramento series that they did win in seven, I thought, okay, but you got the sense like Sacramento's coming. Like that's a young team, and you're not quite there, but boy, you are really knocking on the door. Sean, great stuff. I really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. Thanks for having me, Tom.
Sean Devney, heavy.com. Catch him there covering the NBA media days yesterday around the league. Yeah, look, Denver, sometimes you see teams win championships and you go, okay, but I kind of see next year as this, this, and this. Denver is not one of those teams that is good. It doesn't spit out dynasty, right? It just doesn't. But it could. They do have the best player in the game, even if the guy would rather be in Serbia, and he's not in every commercial that we have on TV, and he's not a guy that is pouring into America's living rooms. Nuggets still don't get a lot of nationally televised games. That probably is going to change since they're the champs. But he's the quietest best player in the league that we've had, because the best player in the league, depending on your metrics, obviously, has always been a player like LeBron, somebody that we've sort of watched grow into that role from a high school student as a young player in the NBA, or a Steph Curry that just electrifies us all the time, championship on top of championship. And what happens? Madison Avenue gets a hold of these players, whether it's Kevin Durant or Steph Curry or even Giannis, anybody else that sort of carried this torch. They're selling us insurance, they're selling us phones, they're selling us everything. And Nikola Jokic is not doing any of that. He's barely on your television during the regular season. But they do have everything right to continue a dynastic run of winning titles. But the West is going to be, again, a daunting place to try to do that.